He sends his pure, sweet love. Good news and shoes. It's Jesus in the everyday, me and you. The good news and shoes.
This is the Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
Good news in shoes.
The following is a paid program. The content is provided by HF Martech. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership are not responsible for the content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance.
Prepare yourself, you know it's a must. Gotta have a friend in Jesus. So you know that when you die, he's gonna recommend you to the spirit in the sky.
Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC. And now, the host of the Team Markev program, Joe Markev.
On air, we're on air. Well, we're singing over here, you know.
I know.
You know, as long as there's music in the background, we can sing.
Yeah,
it's like singing in the shower. When you have enough noise that you can't hear yourself, you sound good.
I've phoned that out.
Yeah, yeah. Right. 1-888-221-8990. That's a very important number, class. Unless you're driving a car, you're supposed to write that number down and keep it near your phone, because I am Joe Martek. This is the Team Martech Hour, and we have been doing that, so Pastor Tom tells us, on WCNO now for 3 years and a few weeks. And we've actually been doing these radio shows since 2004, but on Christian radio only for the last 3 years and a month or so. The concept was very simple. Joe Martech's a financial advisor. Clients of mine would ask me questions that I don't know the answers to. And in my not too humble opinion, if you're a credible professional, you align yourself with other credible professionals in order to help your clients. So most people that are in my business, they find other people that are of the same ilk, and they try to form some kind of a bond with these people so that if a question comes up, they know they've got somebody they can trust. So it's taken a number of years to put together the team, but back in 04, Dan Warren, independent insurance agent. Now, that's a big word, independent. And let me lean on this for just a minute. Those of you that have lived through Hurricane Andrew back in 1992, when it just devastated Homestead and Florida City, many, many, many insurance companies all of a sudden decided to non-renew or cancel, especially homeowners and commercial policies. And those of you that were with a captive company, and there's nothing wrong with a captive company, but all of a sudden you get this notice and you've been with them 10 or 20 years and they say, we don't want you anymore. And it kind of hurts your feelings because you thought, you know, you had a lifetime partner. And most of us at that time thought it was true. But what happened was The rating agency started to look at these companies and said, you've got too much business that's exposed in certain areas. So they told these companies, clean up your act or we're going to downgrade you, which no company wants to get that done. So many of the biggest companies non-renewed, canceled thousands, I mean hundreds of thousands of policies. Well, if you work for one insurance company and you walk in the door and you look at the agent, and let's say it was Pastor Dave over here, they'd look at Dave and they'd say, Dave, you better quit your day job and go preach because you're not going to make any money anymore. Because these people were mad. Yeah. And, you know, it's guilt by association, and I understand that. Now, as an independent insurance agent, you don't work for one insurance company. You work for the client. Dan's been in business for a long, long time, over 30 years, and he has underneath his umbrella of companies, pushing 100 companies, might be a bit more. Not all are homeowners or automobile or whatever, but literally, let's say you've got car insurance and your company falls out of favor. Well, Dan's got 20 or 30 other companies under the umbrella that he can put into the computer and find out somebody that matches you. And to put it mildly, Alan, we've watched Dan do magnificent thing, he and his people, for a whole bunch of people that we know personally.
Including me.
Including me. They got mad at me a little bit. They said, Joe, can you quit getting tickets and accidents? But the key is this. I shop my personal insurance every 6 months. When I get a renewal, I shop it. I just get on the phone and start calling people. I've not found anybody that could do a better job than Dan. And Dan knows I call. Because, I mean, I'm not too secretive to start with. You might have noticed that before, Dave.
First thing.
So the key with an independent is he has the ability to move you if necessary so you don't have to go through the trauma. I mean, a couple of years ago, or maybe five, I forget how long ago, one of Dan's people called me up and said, Joe, did you get your insurance renewal? And I said, well, if I did, I didn't pay any attention. She goes, well, don't pay it. We're going to lower your insurance by $400 if that's okay with you. And I said, oh boy, give me some time to think about lowering my insurance for $400. Boy, what a hard decision that is. You sure you needed to call me? That was pretty simple. Same coverage, save $400. Simple. So the independent is a magic word. Now, you can be an independent insurance agent and have one or two companies because you say you're not real long time in business and you don't have a great big book. But when you're Dan, in my not too humble opinion, again, he's the premier independent insurance agent on the Treasure Coast and a good man, solid Christian, deacon in his church. I mean, Dan's just a flat good guy, or a good, good person, which leads me to Greg Fasula, attorney. What happens, folks, when I meet a new suspect or prospect, very often I bring up the subject of a will or a trust because I feel it's somewhat my responsibility to stir the pot and to make sure people have their ducks in a row and the cart and a horse are in a proper order. And what I used to do, Dave, and I find if I've ever said this before, listen again anyway.
I'm listening.
I would have let's say I'd meet somebody in South Stewart and they did not have a will or a trust. Then I would go and interview local attorneys. And, you know, I don't know. Now, forgive me. I'm not against attorneys. I'm not, because they're necessary. But very often they will talk to somebody like me a little bit different than they might talk to a customer. So I would tell my client, okay, we're going to go see XYZ attorney and he's going to talk to you about a will and trust. And all of a sudden we'd hit the door and this nice guy became arrogant and pretentious and was attorneys have a kind of a way of intimidating people because they're an attorney. That position power, it's called. I know when Willie Gary here in town had a $30,000 desk, you didn't ask him how business was.
True.
Gold fixtures in his restroom. I mean, you know, that was just the way it was. So Greg Fasula, how I bumped into him, we don't even remember, but 20-some years ago. And first thing that happened was he was a good listener. Then he wasn't arrogant and wasn't pretentious. He would not ever do something that's not in his bailiwick. Like every once in a while, and Alan Love is sitting here, who's a retired prosecuting attorney from Wisconsin, a special member of the team that's a guest member forever. He's the only one. He shows up as often as I do, just about, more than the other members of the team, because none are here except me. Right, Alan?
Right at the moment, yes.
At the moment, right. But he would tell you, and it's one of Ms. Victoria Lloyd's favorite sayings, not all attorneys are created equal.
That is for sure.
Some are high integrity, some are not. Some are, I don't know how to phrase this easily, but some I feel gouge people, and some are fair. And when I got with Greg, we started talking about prices, and he'd say, "Well, Joe, you know, I'm pretty basic. What should I charge for your clients?" I said, "Well, nothing." He said, "Well, I can't do that." But we started off, yeah. And when he did a will or a trust for people, normally if you do these documents, you don't do just one document. A will would also call for a power of attorney, a health care surrogate, a living will. There's four or five documents that normally if attorney is doing this thing properly, he'll put together. So it became, what are you going to charge? Well, it's a very difficult question for an attorney to answer because it depends on the complexity of the estate. But let's just put it this way. He was more than fair. Mm. More than fair. Greg will talk to people, and he will talk them out of spending money, which is a hard thing to find in an attorney or anybody. Mm. They'll come to see him and say, "Hey, you don't need a will. You don't need a trust. Based on what you've got, you're fine the way you are." Mm-hmm. Well, that just cost him some money, but the client got to understand what it was all about. You know, yeah. Let me just expand on that. So I've got a retired client, husband and wife, pushing 90. They used to have what was called an A-B trust. Alan, you know what that is.
Yes, I do.
You ever heard of such a thing, Dave?
No.
See?
Could you enlighten me, please?
Education, here we go.
Yeah.
A-B means two people, two trusts. His trust, her trust. So in the vernacular, that we call them the A-B. A is him, B is her, or vice versa, makes no difference. Mm-hmm. Why did they do such a thing? Well, it used to be, not too many years ago, that if you died with an estate over $675,000, I think that was the number if I'm doing it right.
I believe you're correct, Joe, yes.
There became inheritance tax. Mm-hmm. And the tax was 50% over that. So let's say you had $1 million. $675,000 could pass. And over that, half of it would go to the government. Mm. So the heirs weren't too happy. But if we divided our $1 million between he and she, half a million each, one could die, goes to the other, there was no tax. Mm. So the A-B trust did its function. Well, over a period of time, the government raised the amount of money that can pass when you die to today it's at $5 million some odd dollars.
Yeah, it's a little over $5 million, yes.
So you die, you leave $5 million to your kids. They're very happy, one, to get the money, two, mm-hmm. there's not going to be any tax. Got it? So they're happy. Now if you leave $10 million, now all of a sudden there's tax on the second $5 million. Mm. Now real fancy estate attorneys can work together and put together foundations, family limited trusts. I mean, there's all kinds of things to help make it better, but literally the A-B trust was useless to somebody that had a $1 million estate, because now you can pass $5 million, you don't need that thing. So then they sold their house. Now the house was not subject to probate, didn't need to be in a will or a trust, but that's okay. And they moved into an assisted living. Then what they have were annuity contracts, a car, and a brokerage account. On all of these accounts, with the exception of the car, you have either beneficiaries that are named, not subject to probate, and a transfer on death agreement on the brokerage account, and the bank accounts transfer on death. So literally, here they are sitting in this assisted living, they don't even need a will, because they've got names on every instrument that goes on. And the car might be worth $1,500. We're not too concerned about that. That's not going to be subject to probate anyway. So I just said, you know, guys, you just go ahead and die anytime you want. You don't need anything else. You're in good shape. Now, they didn't think that was that funny, but but You know, quite honestly, Dave, when you talk to somebody that's 90 or pushing that, you say the word die, that's not a big word.
No,
that's
really,
called,
no.
Hey, okay, fine, I'll go yesterday, let me go, right? How many times have we heard that?
Several.
Yes. Yeah. So the concept was, when a person goes to see an attorney to do a will or trust, you first have to find out what their assets are and what document is needed. So if you have a homestead in the house, state of Florida, that's your primary residence, and it's, and you filed homestead with the county, that's not subject to probate. If you have all the other things I just talked about and you have those TOD or beneficiaries agreements, that's not subject to probate. Okay. All of a sudden, what do I need these other documents for? Now, if I've got other things, collectibles, if I have rental property, if I have expensive antique, they're all of a sudden, the concept of the will and trust start to make sense. Mm-hmm. So when I talked to Greg, Greg was one of those that if you don't need it, he's not going to charge you for it. And he won't charge you the first time he comes in. I mean, he's just a flat, he's just a good guy. He's one of the better people you'll ever meet in your whole life. So the three of us started doing the shows, and we'd get questions, and we'd be able to help people, and we were doing it for a long time. And all of a sudden, it's 2018, and we've been doing these shows since 2004. And it just, you know, time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah.
Or if you're not paying attention.
Yeah, or both. Yeah.
One or the other. You might resemble that, Alan.
I do.
Yeah, you do. See, now Alan's the only attorney I know that you can get categorical statements out of. Of course, he is retired, because if that was, he was an active attorney right now, I'd give him a yes or no question, and he would say,
I'd start reciting the preamble of the Constitution and go from there.
Luckily, he knows that I'm picking on him, and he knows what I'm going for, so that makes it easy. So then the real estate debacle came along, and we realized that we needed to add some other people to the group. So Ms. Victoria Lloyd, Remax of Stewart, been in a realtor since 1978 or 1980. She knows every street in these two counties. The hardest working person I've ever met in my entire life. The most credible person, meaning if she says she'll call you at 3 o'clock in the morning, don't fall asleep. Or if you do, she's going to wake you up, because that's, she will do exactly what she says every time. If she does not, she is the most upset person on earth. Somebody didn't give her a message or something. She really is not too happy, because that girl does exactly what she said. You couldn't make her lie if you tried. She's 100% transparent. Which leads me to Mike Paulus, mortgage broker. Well, with Victoria, during that last recession, there was words out that there was no mortgage money available. Well, that was never true. They were always available, but it went back to the old rules. And the old rules were, and you had to prove you could afford to make the payment. Can you imagine what a concept that is?
Amazing.
Here, I'll loan you the money. You don't have to pay me back. Just give me your promise to pay. Okay, no problem. Not everybody's 1,000% honest when it comes to that.
Of course. Yeah.
So the key was, with mortgage money, all of a sudden you had to prove you could afford to make the payment. What a concept. But there always were, like the USDA program. It's a government mortgage with no money down. I mean, not a dime down. Hmm. That's always been available. Now, you have to qualify for it. You don't have to have, one of the problems of qualifying for, if you make too much money, you don't qualify. If you don't make enough money, you don't qualify. You got to fit a slot in between. But it works really well for first-time home buyers that have a good job and decent credit. They then can buy that first home. It's not going to be a $1 million house sitting on the beach, but most of us don't start at the top and work our way down. You know, even though some of us have tried. We've seen a few people try that. Anyway, and then there's VA mortgages that are no money down. There's FHA that are 3.5% or 3% down. There's all kinds of different programs out there. And if Mike Paulus was here, he called in on our morning show, and basically they've got no documentation mortgages now that look for your bank statements. Like if you're self-employed, self-employed people don't always take a regular paycheck, but if it shows cash flow, they can count that towards income and verifying it that way that people can afford to make the payment. So there's programs available for almost everybody today. And if Mike was here, I'd put him on the spot and I'd say, how low can your credit score be and get a mortgage? Well, and his answer gets kind of legal here, that they don't have an exact number under certain mortgage criteria. They have to prove you can afford. Now, if your credit score is abysmal, that means you're not paying anybody. Well, the odds are not too good you're going to get it. But if you have, let's say, a 550, 600, you might have had problems in the past that you're working on to cure, and you can still get a mortgage. So the whole thing Mike does, he counsels people, and oftentimes he will take 15 minutes on the phone when you call, and it hadn't cost you a nickel, and you meet him. You don't even have to meet him, talk to you on the phone. He'll let you know where you stand within 15 minutes. It's not like walking into the bank and 2-3 weeks later they say yes or no. In fact, I had one of those. Client of mine retired, not too young person. And she says, I'm selling my house, going to buy another house. And I said, well, you ought to call Mike and get a mortgage. She goes, no, I'm a retired banker. I know what to do. I know my bank real well. Mm. Well, about 3 weeks, a month later, she called me up and says, Joe, you still have that guy's name that does mortgages? I said, her name is Felicia, but I call her Aunt Phil because her nieces and nephews call her that. She's really not happy about me doing that, but that's tough. That's just the way it is. So I said, Phil, what happened? She goes, I got turned down. And I said, well, what'd you do? She goes, I didn't do anything, but I co-signed for a loan for my nephew, and he didn't pay it.
Wow.
Well, she had to end up paying it off, and she did, which now corrected the problem, but still the stain is there. Mm-hmm. But you can explain the stain if you have a good person to help you get this mortgage. So, I mean, there's a back to counseling. And I think what we look to do in our group is counsel people and try to understand them as an individual, because every single person is different. And what they need and how we can help fill the void, that's what our mission is. You know that, Dave. We work very hard to try to make sure that the cart and the horse are put in the proper order. So Vince Rizzino, CPA, same thing. I mean, I looked for a CPA for years that, again, was user-friendly, not pretentious, not arrogant, fair. Vince is one of the better men you'll ever meet, you know, as solid a Christian as there is alive. In fact, he and Uncle Dave and Pastor Tom and I, we sometimes get ripping that Bible apart, and we get into a little heated discussions because we try to read it and understand what we're talking about. But I'm supposed to give out the phone number, but we have a guest over here, an attorney that's supposed to do that, but he's falling apart on his job.
Well, Joe, you were explaining the team and doing a wonderful job, so I was letting you do it. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to give a bonus. I'm going to do it twice.
What a guy.
888-221-8990. That's our toll-free number from anywhere. Locally, 772-221-1100. If you want to be local, again, our toll-free number, 888-221-8990. And locally, 772-221-1100.
Wow. Do you have all those memorized?
Yes.
Well, that's like a figure skater doing a triple axel, you know, to do it twice like that.
I mean, yeah.
You did a great.
You'd look good on ice skates. I hate to tell you, Alan.
I wouldn't be standing up for long, I'll tell you that.
1-888-221-8990. Toll free from any place. In fact, I was listening to the show in the Bahamas last year. Just amazed me that it bounced all the way over there. But that must have
been good weather.
Good weather. You know how the ocean things can bounce certain times a day. But anyway, so the group has been able to help people consistently over a period of time. Our job is to educate. You know, we get people that call. You know, any given week, I get people that call up and they have problems. They have language problems. In fact, I had a lady call me last week or 2 weeks ago, and I forget which. And she says, Joe, would you come to my church group and talk about like you do on the radio? And I said, I'd love to. She goes, now everybody's Spanish. And I said, well, I'll need an interpreter. You know, my Spanish is narrowed down to cerveza por favor. Well, at Baño also.
Yeah, that's a big one.
Anyway, so she said, yeah. And I said, well, okay, whenever you want, just put, you know, let me know. We'll put it on the calendar, and I'd be glad to meet with the group and answer questions. And I might bring out one or two members of the group with me, depending on, you know, the questions they want to ask. Because the whole concept is, and especially if you don't speak English and now you're, or speak poor English, and you're trying to accomplish something, and you're talking to somebody that doesn't speak Spanish, boy, it's difficult. Mm-hmm. So if we have an interpreter, that makes life a lot easier. 1-888-221-8990. All right, class, you're supposed to be calling.
Joe, I've been thinking about...
No, and I don't speak Yiddish, so you can't use that.
I've been thinking about numbers, Joe, and to me, the two most important numbers that we have, number one is our Social Security number,
yeah,
and number two is our credit score.
That's not bad.
And I was thinking about the fact that people can go through life, they've paid all their bills, they have a very high credit score, upper 700s, low 800s, you know, just excellent.
Right.
And then you get sick.
Yep.
And you miss a couple of payments, and like that will affect your credit score, drop it down in the 600s, even if,
almost
if you
over,
miss.
Almost overnight.
Yeah, yeah. Over. So one of the things that I think is important is to either be able to put all of your payments on automatic, so at least the minimum will be paid every month.
What if you don't have the money in the bank?
Well,
see, if you're not working, here comes a big problem.
Right, but then you're not going to be able to maintain your credit score. That's a very unfortunate situation. But I'm talking about somebody who's been working they've got money in the bank, and all of a sudden they have a catastrophic illness for a while, and they miss a couple of payments.
And they forget because they're incapacitated.
So, you know, most financial institutions now, they have a way where you can just pay automatically at least the minimum.
Right, right.
And so what I'm trying to say is because your credit score is that important in your life, make sure that almost every payment, if not all your payments, at least have an automatic payment for the monthly minimum.
So that means credit cards, or let's say furniture store payments, or anything. You can do it with car payments, house payments. You
mortgage
can do with
payments,
all,
too.
You can do them with all of them.
Yeah.
I'm in agreement with you 100%. First of all, I don't like writing checks. I think I do 5 a month, or as few as possible. Things that you have to write a check for, because no other way you can do it. But almost everything I do is automatically taken out. I had my water shut off a few years ago because it wasn't me that was paying it, but the person that was paying it in my office forgot. Well, forget the embarrassment factor. Hopefully you're not standing in the shower when they turn it off. But, you know, that's the first time in my entire life I had my water shut off. I called up. I said, "What happened to the water?" He said, "You didn't pay your bill." And I said, "Since when?" 3 months. I said, "Nobody told me." "Yes, we did." Well, he told my office. So that's now on auto pay. But what you're saying, and it was a stupid excuse that I wasn't paying attention, but I trusted somebody else. Okay, mistakes can be made, right? That's not the end of the world. But luckily, I wasn't in the shower. That was it. 1-888-221-8990. Another subject that comes up relatively often, and even though we kind of take it for granted, most people, especially that are not too young, if they work for a company for any length of time, have what's called a 401k or a 403b. These are savings accounts through their employer. A 401k means it's a company that's a profit-making company. That's how they're designed. A 403b is usually a nonprofit. Like some hospitals are nonprofit, or if it was any big nonprofit, they would have people getting paid, and they put together these retirement plans. Now, very often these retirement plans, you pay into it, and when you pay into it, that money is now a tax deduction. And then the company very often will come up and say, "Hey, we'll match the first 2, 3, 4, 5% that you put in." So let's say you make $50,000 a year, and you put in $2,000, which would be 2%. No, 4%.
Right.
4%.
4%.
And if they match 4, you'd have $4,000. Now that's called 100% return in 1 year. You can't get 100% return, but you can with these quote company sponsored savings plans for retirement. Now there are rules. Very often the rules say, well, if you can't take that money out for a period of time, otherwise we'll take back our company share and you only get back your share. Because they call it vesting. Sometimes the vesting period is 3, 4, 5, 7 years. It depends on the company and on the program. But if you're going to be there for any length of time, it gets vested, and that's all your money. Next rule, if you take the money out prior to age 59 and one half, the government doesn't like that, so they're going to charge you a 10% penalty plus the tax. So the concept of these things are to save money for retirement. It's not to save money for short term. Now, there are some exceptions to that, but not too many, but there are exceptions, rather than getting into those, because every plan has its own rules, but very often most of them have the same sets of rules. Then, if you haven't taken money out by the time you reach 70 and one half, the government says you have to start taking money out, and it's roughly 4% of the value of the account that year. So let's say it's $100,000. That means you've got to take out at least $4,000, which will be subject to tax. Next part of the wrinkle is, when you leave an employer, whether you retire or quit, get fired, whatever it might be, you can take that account with you, but very often employers would just assume you didn't keep the program with that employer, because it's company sponsored, it has its rules and its limitations, but you can roll it out. And that's what it's called, a rollover, and you roll it into your own account, which is now called an IRA, Individual Retirement Account. Why would you do that? Well, number one, when you move it yourself, you can put it wherever you want. You don't have to put it where the company says. You don't have the limitations based on the company program. What are my choices? You can go to the bank, open up that account with the bank. The bank will do the paperwork, roll it right out of that thing for you. You don't have to do anything except walk in there with a statement, and they'll do the rest of the work, assuming you get somebody who knows what they're doing, which normally they do. You can go to a broker like me and do that. There's a number of places you can go to do this with. Insurance companies you can do it with. There's all kinds of different programs available to move it. Here comes the $64,000 question. What's in your best interest to roll it? Well, that's not the easy. There's no easy answer. In order to find out what's in your best interest, you have to be with somebody, talk to somebody that will sit and listen to you and exactly what you want to accomplish, how you are going to get from where you are today to where you want to start taking that money if you want to. You want to have beneficiaries' names so that in case you die on the wrong day or in the right day, I don't care which day, the money goes to whoever you want it to go to. There are also insured investments that can protect the money. I had a lady that listened to WCNO not too long ago, came in the office, and she had two or three contracts. And what I normally do, rather than trying to tell her what she has, I will call the company directly, not the agent, and I will find out for her exactly what she has. Well, when she left, we kept everything she had. She's not giving it up. And she said, you know, this is the first time ever since I've had these things that I understand what I've got. And she did not understand it. But boy, she got lucky as all get out, because they were magnificent programs, just doing absolutely wonderful things for her. So that's my job, is to try to make sure you understand what you've got. And then this happens every so often. I get a call from Pastor Dave. He says, Joe, tell me what you told me 6 months ago that I forgot. Right? I mean, that pizza story works for a while, but you might forget it.
That's right.
But the key is, we do this every day, or I do this every day, so most of these things are pretty easy for me. But when you don't do it every day, you forget. You can forget. So the concept is to try to make sure we achieve your goal, and more important at the beginning is to educate you on what your choices might be. On what your choices might be. I've got people that I say, okay, fine, we have an insured investment. We can protect it in case you die. We can protect it in case you don't die. But then they say, well, Joe, isn't there something that pays a little more? Like, I hear about these 10, 12, 14, 15% things. I said, yeah, there are there. But some of those have higher risk. Well, how do I know what I'm getting into? Well, you got to do some homework. I'm going to give you some information. You can start to figure out. But you need to start understanding that. Let's just an example. And we've talked about this on the radio, Alan. REITs, R-E-I-T, Real Estate Investment Trust. REITs. Now, real estate's a pretty hot subject right now on the whole country because the economy is humming right along. Values of real estate are going up. This looks pretty good. A lot of these real estate investment trusts are paying 10 and 12% dividends. People are real happy getting those 10 and 12% checks. Well, guess what happens? When all of a sudden the market starts to go south, meaning things go bad, we get into another recession, one of the first things to get in trouble is real estate. So you don't want to be in those things at that point. How do you do this? Well, you have certain instruments that are you're locked into that you can't get out of easily, and you've got other ones that are 100% liquid. So the key thing is learn, educate. Don't trust 100%. Make sure you understand these different options. So what I try to do with people, I try never to do things that are not liquid, meaning I want liquidity. I want to get in today and I want to get out tomorrow. It's your decision. You can do that. There are certain things that you cannot get out without major penalties, or you may have to wait 6 months or 6 weeks or 6 years to do it. I avoid those things just because most people would forget 3 months. I had this happen to me, a year or three ago. An existing client of mine, they had an instrument that was paying 7%, and they were happy as a clam with it. But then all of a sudden, it started paying 6%, then it went down to 5%, then it went down to 4%. They called me up and they said, Joe, this thing was guaranteed at 7%. And I said, I doubt it. I said, well, that's what they told me. I says, that's a problem. I said, you might want to get rid of it. So they called them up and they can't get rid of it because it was not a traded instrument. And in order to get rid of it, they had to find somebody else that would buy it. Well, guess what happens? If you were making 7% and now it goes down to 6.54%, nobody's going to buy that. Mm-hmm. So they were pretty much stuck, and they had to wait the economy out, and hopefully it would turn before the company went bust. Mm. They were happy as a clam getting that 7%. Mm, yeah. But you know what? They were not explained the whole thing to. The key word is liquidity. If you look at anything, I don't care what it is, if it's not publicly traded on a stock exchange, New York Stock Exchange, NASDAQ, that's a big flag. Not that it's necessarily a bad thing, but you need to know what it is before you make a decision. So liquidity is a big thing with me. There are some things that have penalties. Well, so do CDs at the bank. But that's okay. If you know what the penalty is ahead of time when you're going in the door, then it's not a shock to you if you want to cash it or take some money out. But you need to learn that stuff. So when I sit with anybody, first thing I try to do is say, what's your goal? What are you trying to accomplish? You know, you're 25 years old. What do you want to do? I want to buy a Maserati next year. Then don't give me any money. And that's how, I mean, I'm joking, but the truth is, if your horizon is extremely short, your best is to keep the money in the bank. The other side of the coin is, and I've got one particular client that he hears rumors, and they have things called penny stocks. And we've talked about penny stocks a little bit. Most broker dealers don't like penny stocks because that's the highest risk, just about the highest risk. Can you think of anything riskier, Alan?
No, not really. And I'm thinking of the movie Boiler Room, if you ever saw that.
Yeah.
That was a wonderful movie as far as exposing the risk of going into penny stocks.
Yep. So what happens is, if you're I shouldn't use the word legitimate, but let's say you're a publicly traded stock on the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ. Usually they're very liquid. I can buy it today. I can sell it tomorrow. No problem. But if it's under, say, $5 a share or under a dollar or 10 cents, normally those are not listed on the big exchanges. They're done what's called over-the-counter or pink sheets. There's different words, but they're not liquid. You say, okay, fine, I want to sell it. Well, it might take a day or a week or a month to sell it because they have to find a buyer for it. So it's not as liquid. But penny stocks, I mean, wouldn't you like, Dave, if we'd have bought Microsoft when it first came out?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of ways people make a long dollar, and every once in a while, these things happen. So I had this phone call, and he comes up, and here's the name of the company, and he gave it to me. He says, Joe, check it out. I hear it's going to go bonkers. Well, it was trading for 30 mils. You know what a mil is?
That's less than a penny.
That's 0.3 of a penny. Well, it went up 14% in a day, which is 1.4 mils.
Yeah, right.
So he had 31.4 mils. He just made a fortune, right? Who's going to buy it? It was extremely volatile, extremely high risk. And I said, hey, look, it. You want to buy it? You know, you've got to sign a piece of paper that says, I think you're crazy. I think you're stupid. You want to lose all your money. I certainly didn't talk you into it. In fact, I tried to discourage you. Sign that piece of paper and I'll let you buy it. And that's just about what you have to do.
Sure.
Because I don't want you coming back to me after you lose your money and say, hey, Joe, you didn't tell me I could lose my money. Uh-huh. You signed a piece of paper, said you're out of your mind. And that's basically what you're saying.
I want to just point out, though, that just because a stock trades on the New York Stock Exchange or NASDAQ doesn't mean that the risk is minimized.
No.
As an example, I'll use a stock from today, Snap, SNAP is the symbol. That stock missed their earnings down 20% today in one day.
Hey,
we have some phone numbers to give, Joe.
Why don't you do that?
I'll do it. 888-221-8990. That's our toll-free number.
Just give just that one and give it again. Let's make WCNO pay the big bucks on the 800 number.
As a matter of fact, I'll give it in a special way. Ocho, 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 dos, dos, uno, ocho, nueve, nueve, cero. That's Spanish for 888-221-8990. Please call us. We'd love
to
hear from
you. Listen, I'm impressed, but I want you to do that in Yiddish now.
Uive.
Very good answer. I liked it. Oh, it was, did I ever tell you that was one of my more favorite people on earth? I was back in many, many years ago, I was in real estate and we did communities. We did condominium properties and I had one down in Miami. And this, I had a young lady that was a sales rep and she was, quote, a Juban. You ever heard of a Juban?
Is that a Jewish person and a Cuban?
She was born and raised in Cuba and a Jew. Mm-hmm. And she was now living in Miami.
Wow.
Now, the reason she was entertaining, because she would talk to a relative on the phone that was also Jewish Cuban, and in one sentence she would have three languages. She was the most entertaining person to listen to because you know, certain words, like in Yiddish, there's certain words that chutzpah, you know, I mean, there's certain words that really make more sense in Yiddish than in it, because once you interpret the word it takes a sentence, but in one, so she would talk in one sentence three languages. One of the more entertaining people to ever listen to. New subject. Anyway, throw that one out for no good reason. 1-888-221-8990. So, yeah, and there's other little companies that have gone bust on the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ. Enron was one of the biggest failures of all, which was kind of almost a scam company that was doing things that were not proper.
Well, it probably wasn't a scam company when it
started.
No. When it started and built up over the years,
right.
But then when things got out of hand with the oil market,
yeah.
They thought they could make more money trading the oil market than doing what their business was, and that's where they got
little
into
minor
problem.
Creative accounting, is that creative accounting?
Oh, big time.
Big time, yeah. Creative accounting, that became a whole
new... I forgot what firm it was that a big firm went under, an accounting firm because of Enron.
Big time.
Anderson... Anderson.
Anyway, three name company, monster company.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's, hey, you know, unfortunately, we all know this. There are people that have no integrity that are, let's just put it this way, are crooks.
Mm.
I've never understood that exactly, because if you got to work so hard to be a crook and be successful at it, not get caught, that's hard work, I would assume. And we think if you work just as hard to do something legitimate, you might do just as well. Because here Enron was a very successful company, but they moved away because of greed, internal greed.
Right.
Yeah. And that seems to be the common denominator that has hurt quite a few people.
You know, you've been talking about a theme that I think we should elaborate on a little bit. How do you find somebody in the financial business or in the legal business or in the real estate business or in the accounting business that you can trust? And I think it boils down to two things you talk about frequently: knowing your goals and knowing your risk tolerance. If you can walk into a professional's office and have an idea of what you want to do with your money,
right,
and when you want to do it, that professional will be able to guide you, show you alternatives of of the best way of meeting your goal. If you walk into a professional's office and you're asked the question, what do you want to do with your money? And you say, I have the faintest idea. How can we help you?
It takes a little bit of time to figure that out. Let me take this call. Caller, it's Joe Martek. You're on the radio.
Yes, sir. My name's Shirley, and I was interested in asking what you can tell me about Bitcoin or the currency.
Well, Bitcoin is a very interesting anomaly. There are some real heavy hitter people, and I mean some of the biggest, most intellectual multi-billionaires that think it's a fraud. Then there are people that think that this is the wave of the future. One of the things that happened, there is nothing behind these currencies. There's no country behind it. There's no real company behind it. The rules have not been set. Some big companies, brokerage houses, are starting to ease into it to trade it, but nobody has jumped in with both feet. So it's a bit, how do I put it? If I was going to buy Bitcoin, let's say I had a $100,000 portfolio, and that's how much money I've got to play with.
Okay.
I would say, okay, fine. How much of that am I willing to lose, and yet I want to take a risk and maybe hit a home run? So let's say it's $5,000. Okay, so now I buy $5,000 worth of Bitcoin, and if I lose every dime of it, I didn't take food off my table. But I would be very reluctant to take more than 5 or 10% of my liquid money and put it into that. Secondly, if you have a 401k or an IRA or any type of retirement plan, I don't think you're allowed, I don't know any of them that allow you to buy Bitcoin inside of those. Alan, have you heard of any that do that?
No.
I don't think there are.
No.
They're not traded openly on the stock exchanges, so it's a bit of a risk. But some people are saying, like, if you go into Africa where there's governments that are very, very, very volatile, that Bitcoin becomes the normal currency because they don't have that government behind it. Some countries use the U.S. dollar, not officially but unofficially, as their currency to trade because they know that the U.S. is solid. I don't know if I'm answering your question, but the bottom line is, it's not a low risk item at this point.
Let me give you an analogy, ma'am. When Amazon first came out as a publicly traded company, you could have bought stock in Amazon, but at that time it was very, very speculative. But after a few years, people began to realize that Amazon is a company that was really going to survive, that had a good business model, and you could have started to buy it then, but you would have been on a lot safer ground. So what I'm trying to say in short is, why speculate now when people are all over the map? As Joe said, some people are saying it's going to be the currency of the future. Other people are saying, like Warren Buffett, it's a fraud, basically.
Yep. Jamie Dimon, you know,
be patient, wait, see what develops. If it's going to be that good, you'll always have an opportunity to get in, and then you can stutter-step your buying. You can buy a little bit to begin with. If it's working out, you can buy more.
Alan, do you own any?
None. And I'm waiting. I'm not judging it.
No.
I want to see if it's going to be something really that's going to be fabulous and that we're going to be able to have transparent currency and worthwhile.
Let me give you a couple bit. Alan could afford to lose $4,000 or $5,000, but he's not willing to.
I don't blame him. I wouldn't.
No, at this
he's
point,
smart man.
at this point, when I look at myself and Alan and the people I know personally, I do know one guy personally that does have. He bought a bunch of Bitcoin at $20,000 and got up to $80,000. It's back down to $30,000, and he hasn't sold it. But he can afford to lose every dime of that. For him, it's pure speculation, but he knows if he lost it all back again, no food off of his table. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know if I answered your question totally, but the bottom line is it's highly speculative and it might just work, but there's also 6 or 8 or 10 more coming behind it doing the same thing. Are they going to be as good, bad, or indifferent? None of us really know, because there's not been The problem is there's not been any regulation on this type of thing. It becomes, you know, unfortunately, when we have our government behind stuff, unfortunately, we have the government behind it. But the bottom line we know is we have our government behind it. So we feel a little bit better.
Some government regulation is good, and especially in the banking system.
Banking, stock brokerage firms. I mean, there's all kinds of rules that are there to protect the consumer, and these are good rules.
Absolutely.
So anyway, does that answer?
There's no track record.
Well,
no track record that you can actually look at to see.
Well, you can for the last couple of years, but not for 10 years.
Well, ma'am, one thing you can do if you want to find out more information of it, just go on the internet and Google in Bitcoin, and there will be sites that will explain to you what it is, how it works, and
how long it's been.
Yourself.
There's also going to be a chart that shows you how much it sold for then, how much it's selling for now, and how much it sold for all the way in between. You can see the roller coaster.
In the last year, Bitcoin has had a high of $19,000, and it's currently trading around $9,000 a coin. So if you had bought at $19,000, you're not very happy at this point.
Okay, thank you for your time. Appreciate it. Okay.
Thank you for the call. 1-888-221-8990. You know, that's the first call I've ever had on Bitcoin, and I appreciate that because it's a subject that we hear all the time.
Well, I think if in fact it is going to be something that's going to work in our currency system, it's going to be talked about a lot more on the show.
Hey, Joe, we've got a caller. She wanted to remain anonymous. She's from Port St. Lucie. She had a question. Is there a minimum amount of assets that one has to have to establish a living revocable trust?
Not really. Now, the concept is, what is a living revocable trust, right? When you have a trust, it's an inanimate object. Let me give you an example. This is like the pizza story. A living revocable trust, let's say this table that is sitting right in front of me is a trust. And what I do is I take all of my assets, meaning my house, my bank account, everything, and I give it to the table. The table now owns it. But you'll notice this table has no mind. This table can't think. And I own the table. So I am what's called now the trustee. Mm-hmm. So whenever I want to do anything, I instruct the table to do whatever is within that document, inside of that trust. So your bank account is an example. My bank account says Joe Martek on it. But if I go to the bank and I say I want to put it into my living revocable trust, it would say Joe Martek Trust. And normally they put a DTD, which is the date it started. And that now, I still sign the checks just like I did, but that bank account is, why did we do this trust at all? Avoids probate. We die. Those assets do not have to go through the court system. However, you don't need to have a trust for certain documents. We talked about that at the beginning of the show. If you have a transfer on death agreement on your bank account, that avoids probate. If you have named beneficiaries on your insurance contracts, on your annuities, if you have a brokerage account, you can have TOD. If you have an IRA, retirement account, any kind of retirement account, you have beneficiaries. None of those things are subject to probate. Your homestead, your primary residence, is not subject to probate. So the reason we get a revocable trust is that we want to take things out of our name and put them into the name of this trust, and that trust now is not subject to probate, but because it's, quote, a revocable trust, called a living trust, we can take things in and out as long as we're alive, because we are the trustee. We're in charge of it. I'm in charge of it, if it's my trust. Now, I drop dead. No longer is that a revocable trust. That is now an irrevocable trust, because it now says in that document what happens to those assets when I die. And I just had one of those that happened. Client died, and the daughters called me up. And I said, well, you have to get a new tax ID number, which is the same as a Social Security number, but because mom's gone, we can't use hers anymore. So we call up the Social Security Administration and they give us a new number for that trust. Now it stands on its own as its own entity, files its own tax return, but we have new trustees. which becomes the daughters. But they have to do exactly what it says in that trust at that point.
And the an important word, revocable, means that you as the trustee of this table, if you wanted to destroy the table, you could do it.
That's right. But once you die, if you're the trustee now, when you open up that revocable trust, it's no longer revocable. It's irrevocable. Now, why would you do an irrevocable up front? Sometimes there's tax consequences for doing it, but under normal circumstances, most people do a revocable, and the concept is to avoid probate. I mean, that's the main thing. People think it also can avoid lawsuits. To a point, maybe, but they get penetrated regularly, because if you're just an individual person, not a great big company with all kinds of stuff, the intent, as attorneys can penetrate these trusts very, very successfully. So I when I talk to people about it, I say, don't pay attention to those rules, because you're not General Motors. You're Joe Martek down the street. You do that trust because you have assets that might be subject to probate when you die, and you want to avoid that for your family. So you put them into the trust. The biggest single things that go in are income properties, rental properties. You can't do TODs and beneficiary agreements on those things, so they fit perfectly into a trust. So if you've got a rental or three or four, it makes really good sense to do that. I have had people put stock accounts into it. They don't have to, but they do it anyway because they just want to. So I hope that answers the question.
Alternative would be a transfer on death for a stock account, right?
Always transfer on death, yeah. I had a client of mine says, Joe, what's this FOB? And I said, what are you talking about? It says, it's on my account. It says FOB. And I says, no, it doesn't. It says TOD. FOB is free on board. Remember that term? Yeah.
Yes.
Free on board, like you buy something from a company, mm-hmm. and they're going to ship it to you. It's free on board, meaning at their plant. To get it from their plant to you costs money. TOD is transfer on death. So you're not an FOB.
I'm glad of that. I'm glad.
Aren't you happy to know that?
Yeah, I'm excited.
What I don't do to educate you, Dave, I'm telling you.
I've learned so much, Joe.
I know that, but tomorrow there's a test now.
Okay.
1-8. Yeah, I didn't say you're going to pass. 1-888-221-8990. We're about out of time, but keep that number handy. Call the radio station anytime. They'll take your name and number, and we will call you back and help you any way we can. And we're down to 30 seconds. Are we about out of down to 15 seconds or 30?
Not yet.
Auf Wiedersehen, maybe?
What'd you say?
Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen. Uh-huh.
Shalom.
You're not going to sing that, are
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah. Goodbye also. Hey, until next week, we want to thank you so much for calling. That was a great question on Bitcoin. I appreciate that. And anybody that has questions anytime, we're here to help. I want to thank you again. Until next week, goodbye. Never been a sinner, I never sinned. I got a friend in Jesus. So you know that when I die, He's gonna set me up, the Spirit in the sky. Oh, set me up. You've been listening to the Team Martek program. The Team Martek program is a paid program. The content was provided by HF Martek. WCNO, its staff, management, and ownership were not responsible for its content. Investment involves risk. Prior to making any investment, an investor should meet suitability requirements. Past results are not necessarily indicative of future performance. Neither the opinions expressed nor the information provided constitutes a recommendation to purchase or provide investment advice. The material presented is not a substitute for obtaining professional advice from a qualified person or firm. Securities offered through Centaurus Financial, member FINRA and SIPC, and Michael Paulus with East Coast Mortgage Lenders, NMLS number 353429. Tune in next Wednesday at 4 p.m. for the Team Martek program here on WCNO 89.9 FM. For more information, Team Martek is available at 772-678-7725.